Welcome everyone to Connections Over Coffee. This is one of my favorite little meetups because we come with basically no agenda other than to reconnect how we make an impact, how we can turn that into a story, and then how do we elevate that. I have just kind of a shortened version that might make a little more sense to everybody. To reconnect, we're always asking ourselves, who am I today and what matters to me? So who am I today and what matters to me? As our lives change and as we get older, and as our kids grow up, and we've got now the grandkids, and different things happen in our lives, and again, we might lose a spouse. Congrats to Sally. She ended up getting married again, so I just think that's wonderful. I love that. But things happen. Well, and Linda, you've lost a spouse, right? Yeah. And of course, then there's Ruth, who's, gosh, how long is your relationship? You've been married how many years, Ruth? You're on mute. Yep, she's still on mute. She's trying. I see it. Yeah, it doesn't let you unmute, does it? Yeah, I don't think I can unmute you on my end. But
Probably the
anyway,
gauze, the getting in the
there.
way.
Yeah.
There, I'm on my phone, which is really crazy. It should be easier, and it's not.
Okay.
But we have been married 50 years.
50 years. Okay. All right.
So, in less than a year ago, in June. So, yeah, we're celebrating that, and we're expecting another 10. We may not get it, but we're going to try.
Hey, I get it. So I love that, but everybody's at a different spot in their lives, and so we have to ask ourselves, who am I today, and what matters to me today? Our impact is how do I serve in small but meaningful ways? And those of you on this call are all in the magazine, and so you know that Carmela, who is also one of my co-hosts, co-mods for this call, she is all about service. And when you listen to her, she's always serving in some capacity, constantly, which we all are. But that seems to be a basic core impact of hers is her serving. And then Storify, what part of my life becomes a story worth sharing? Is there a moral to the story? Is and I loved listening and reading memoirs because I love seeing the struggle and then how folks have arrived. And it just does your heart good to know that they have that tenaciousness. They have they have that perseverance, that which we all have at some degree, some of us more or less than others, but we all have that. We look back over our lives at what we've managed to get through, and we have that silent strength. And so, what part of that can become a story that you can elevate? So, how will that message live beyond me and inspire others? And so, I always ask myself, what can I take away from who I am today? What matters to me? How do I serve even in small ways? And how do I turn that into a story that's worth sharing that will live beyond me and inspire others? And I think oftentimes it comes down to, depending on what age you are, as to what your legacy is and what you want your legacy to be. And so I guess that's what I want to talk about today, because we talked last month in September about reconnecting, which is that whole who am I today and what matters to me. And so this month is all about impact. How do I serve in small but meaningful ways? And then in November, we're going to talk about Storify, how to craft our story, and then in December, how to elevate. So we're talking about impact today. So one of my first questions is, think about legacy in the now. Take a moment to think about who that person is, a child, a friend, a client, a partner. What would you want them to feel because you were in their world? What would you want them to feel because you were in their world? Would it be kindness, mentoring, generosity, listening, serving? It doesn't have to be loud to be life-changing. It can be something small. So think about that. Now, as for me, and I think we get little prompts in our life as our lives unfold. I think we get little snippets of prompts that something maybe a slightly more illuminated path, if you will, that we think, is this a nudge? And for those of us that are faith-based, we talk about that nudge maybe coming from God. For those that are not, maybe they think about that nudge coming from the universe, but just that little nudge that's nudging us in a certain direction. Now, I don't know about you, but as for me, and those of you on this call know that I do several podcasts, and one of them is with the Ohio Writers Guild. And I had the opportunity to interview a gal named Michelle that aged out of the system in foster care. And her heart is to help these kids that are becoming adults that age out of foster care, that they don't have a family. They've been maybe bounced around in the foster system. And we've all heard the horror stories. Some of them have had suffered additional abuse. So to begin with, they were taking into the foster care system because they didn't have that maybe adult support. And now maybe they still are not getting the loving adult support that they need in the foster system, because again, there's a certain number of foster parents that are doing it for the money. I get it. It's a way that they can survive themselves. And of course, I don't know about you, but a lot of families that I know are all dysfunctional at different degrees, depending on the family. And so you wonder how these kids, as they come through this system, and now they're kind of, spit out the other end. They turn 18, they graduate from high school, and all of a sudden, here they are. They really don't have the support that they need, or that maybe our children had or have. And so they're just trying to make a go of it. They don't have anybody to help them with, give them direction. So this Michelle has a heart for that, and she has started a whole center, not too far away from me. And Sally, you'll know where this is. It's in Logan, Ohio, which is maybe another 30 minutes down 33 south of where Sally and I live. And she's really making a go of this center for foster kids who have aged out of the system. And for some reason, I can't escape it. It's one of those nudges in my life that just keep me circling back to those kids. And so again, for those of you on this call, know that I have rental properties, and I have one of those girls in one of my rentals right now, who aged out of the system. And so I'm constantly working with her and trying to make it a win-win. I mean, I have an obligation to pay the mortgage and that sort of thing, but I try to make it as easy on her as possible because I know she is struggling to make a go of it and to just get her feet on the ground and get a solid base so that she can continue and make a difference and make an impact in her life. So anyway, I just keep circling back to that. So for me, I think it, as my legacy, I want it to be how I could give, how I could give back. And so I have been exploring this past week how I can give more. And I'll call it a ministry. I don't know how faith-based it is, but I'll call it a ministry that I just feel that I want to give back to that organization in Logan, whether it be in a big sister capacity to help, one of the gals that maybe doesn't have any parents or any siblings that she can depend on, or in a monetary value where I can simply donate more. And then the other, which all of us on this call is going to get. You have those kids that have a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit and they don't have any direction to help them. Everybody says, well, you need to just go get a job. And so they have no one to tell them that you can do this, you can follow your dream. I mean, and again, in my coaching, and again, I've coached some of you on this call, but, a lot of times I'll tell folks, sometimes you got to have the cash, you got to have the money. To pay the basics. So sometimes you got to go just get the job while you're fulfilling the dream, the entrepreneurial dream. And sometimes they overlap. And anytime I've reinvented myself, I've always overlapped what I was leaving from and what I was going to. And that's kind of one of my foundations of building an entrepreneurial vision is explaining that it's okay to let some of those overlap. It's okay to do this thing while you're working on this thing. And it's okay to do that for, and for me, looking back, it's usually like 24 months. I don't know if that's my magic number or what, but anytime I've wanted to reinvent myself, it usually takes me a couple of years. When I, got out of corporate America into being self-employed, and then when I got out of being self-employed into coaching, I always take, that 24 months to make the transition. And it just makes things a little smoother. And so many folks, they just walk away from this step and then feel that they're going to be successful in this one. And then when they don't make it, they give up because they go, well, that didn't work because they didn't give themselves that base that they needed. So anyway, I have a heart for these kids. That is kind of where I'm headed here recently. So I would like to hear from someone else as to who are you today and what matters to you and how do you feel that you want to serve in maybe a small but very meaningful way. And then how are you going to turn that into a story? So for me, I'm going to be in another collaborative book effort and it's called Think Legacy. And so I want to weave that into my chapter when I go into, and this will be my fourth collaborative book. And so that's how I'm hoping that my message will live beyond me and inspire others. So would anyone else like to share?
I think I need to share more of my life story because it hasn't been easy. And if you look at me today, you have no idea the things I've been through. Yeah, I was in an abusive marriage. I had a terrible miscarriage where I didn't lose the baby, and they wouldn't do a DNC. And so I carried a dead baby for almost the whole time. And I
Sally,
ended up
this is, I've never heard this about you before. Wow.
having losing the baby in the bathroom of a department store. And so that stays with me a lot. But I want to share those stories. I mean, my ex-husband kidnapped Mike, my oldest son, before he was a year old. I want to share those stories to say I went through these things, but here I am now. I did not let those things define who I was.
And that's that strength and that tenaciousness I was talking about.
So I think it's important for people to, you get in a situation and you think, I'm never going to get out. It's never going to change, but it does. But you have to work hard, but it's possible. So I think maybe that's the legacy I want to leave. And sometimes I started sharing some of these things with my kids as they've gotten older, maybe so they understand why I'm the person I am, But that is a legacy. And I think other women need to know that they don't have to be defined by their circumstances at the time.
Can I add
Wow.
something in there?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that is the things that we have successfully gone through or experiences, like Sally has, those are the areas that we have authority over. And we can help other people in their when they're in those situations. So yes, Sally, I would love to see you open up to more people and be more available.
I need to be.
That's very interesting. Have you thought about writing your story or no?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
Sally Bloss, so she's also a part of our Ohio Writers Guild. She is one of the co-hosts on the Ohio Writers Guild. So Sally does write as far as her blog goes. And so have you thought about, yes, writing the legacy?
Yes. And
Okay.
I can pinpoint it's just, I think I talked to you about Ed and I have gone through similar So we've gone through bankruptcy, we've gone through the death of a spouse, we've gone, I mean, we have similar stories, but they're at, like, when I was about eight, is that's when my dad got hurt on the railroad. That's when everything changed in my, well, not just my life, but my parents and my sister's life. So that was kind of the defining moment when everything changed. And he had a traumatic situation happen to him about the same age. And one, it makes you feel like nothing's permanent. Because, you know, but you understand that nothing, well, nothing's going to be like you expected it to be. I grew up in Terre Haute, Indiana. You know, then my parents moved to Indianapolis. But that was our, that's when everything changed. And that sets the course of my life for the rest of my life. And it's still a memory that it had a big impact on me. Because I went from, my mom was home all the time. She had to go to work. So my sisters were much older than I was. So I was alone a lot. And that defined how I grew up, kind of person I, because I can be. I like my aloneness sometimes. But veering off what's most important. But that's the, that would be the point I would start at that point in telling my story. Because up until then, it was difficult, you know, low-class family. But that's where I would start with my story. So yeah,
Wow.
I've
So
given it a lot of thought.
yeah, we should chat, because I have some prompts to write a memoir, and so it might be helpful. Debbie's not on this call today, but Debbie and I have talked about her possibly using some of my prompts, because she kind of got stuck trying to write hers, and so I have some prompts that might be helpful.
Well, yeah, and she's the, right. She's another one that has
Yes.
a big story to tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sally, thank you so much for sharing that. Wow. Yeah, it seemed, I know part of your story, but I didn't know some of those parts. So yeah, so good for you for your tenaciousness, because look where you are today. Yeah.
But
I love.
I don't want my work now to get, I don't want it to take away from the time I have with Ed.
Yes, I get that. I get that. And for those of you that who have lost a spouse, you know all too well that it can change in a heartbeat, literally. Yes. I
That's why we
understand.
celebrate his coming back from the dead. I mean, it was only a second, but he could see himself lying on the floor of the storage unit.
Oh
Oh,
my. And so this is a very important trip for you guys to take to celebrate. Yes, I love that. Sally, thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Ruth or Linda, want to share?
I'm fine, Sharon, but go ahead, Linda, if you want to.
Linda's putting in her earbuds there. Yeah. Ruth, do you want to go ahead while Linda gets? Oh, there's
Yeah,
Linda. Okay.
my audio dropped, so I missed part of what was said for like the last 2.5 minutes, so I'm totally bummed out. But go ahead, Ruth, while I try to get my head back in the game.
Okay. And I don't even know for sure where I'm going to go on with this, but it goes along with Sally's thing about using life experiences. But I don't have the traumatic ones, I don't think that I, you know, Sally, you've got to go through. But I also realized that the things that I have learned, I can help others with. Now, I'm at a place in my life where I'm not wanting to push a business, but I still have a purpose to continue to grow myself and all my relationships. And when I say that, because I'm a person of faith, it is with my God or whoever is the higher power in your life. But it's also with myself and with others. And when I think about what I want to The demeanor that I want to leave people with, I want to create a calm, compassionate environment, a non-judgmental one, where people feel safe to share the things that are going on in their lives and know that they're not going to be condemned, they're not going to be judged, and that we're going to look at the, I'm going to look at what's going on with them with compassion and love. And as far as a legacy, I don't know for sure what that looks like. I think as far as giving back, I think my book club on Meetup and we are, we've got a group on there, and we are really doing some pretty deep dive into our lives and learning some really tough subjects, honestly. And so I think that's me in a nutshell.
Ruth, thank you so much for that. I still come across our Benny's Cup every so often, where we spent some time with you and Tom over in the Fort. Well, was it? It wasn't close to Fort Lauderdale. More Delray Beach, I think, is where Benny's is. Anyway, I think about you every time, and when I go back for and because this will be my fourth book coming up. In this coming April, and so we always go back and tip our hats to Benny's on the beach, and I always think about you and Tom.
Yeah, we only made it that one time so far. But, like what you guys are talking about, we want to be retired.
Yeah.
And so soaking up that time and just enjoying life, knowing I still have a purpose. I'm not throwing away the purpose. And that is to be open to helping other people with relationships and just creating that safe spot. And I think that's a lot of my giving back right now. It's just being available for those nudges.
Yep, I can appreciate that.
That's
Again,
great, Ruth.
you gals are Sally's close enough, but Linda and Ruth is not. But we do an actual in-person little coffee chat every Thursday, and Sally, you're invited. Every
Okay.
Thursday, we do a coffee chat in person here locally. And Ruth, I can really appreciate what you're saying about the no judgment and a safe place, because it we let the group kind of evolve on its own, so it happens to be all females, and it is a safe place where they can express their concerns or their fears or their insecurities, and it is a safe place for that. So we're building relationships that way, and we all need that. We all need somebody that we can feel connected with. And so, Ruth, thank you so much for sharing, because everything you said is so important.
It's just that's what's so great about the grief support group that Ben and I were in, because you could, it was comforting. Everybody's grief is different, and
Yes.
it's the same, like Matt's favorite expression is same, same, but different. So, but it was comforting to know that people could were going through the same thing you were doing, going through, and you could say anything in that group. And that's so important, Ruth, to have a place you can go. That's so important.
I want to add something to this. I'm going through a book, and it is a faith-based book, but he said one of the three most important things that you need in your life for transformation is to have at least one person or a small group where you can be totally honest without, the judgment and condemnation. Because a lot of times, and we all have had that, where we tried to be honest, or we were honest, I should say, but it was met with condemnation.
I can certainly see that, yes. But I think as how do I say it? As the moderator or the leader of a particular group, I think you have to set that stage. I think you have to set those expectations, or else someone in the group, could take offense to something and get their feelings hurt, and because of something that someone else said. And so I do think you have to set those expectations and keep it front and center.
And I think for most people, what I'm thinking of, it's more not in a group, it's more one-on-one. Where somebody has, oh, you think like that, or you did that, and you come away more hurt than it did help.
I can see that. Yes.
Yeah, that makes the other person just shut up. I mean, or that makes you not want to share, not just with that person, but with other people, because you're going to be afraid you're going to get the same response.
And sometimes if and Sally, you'd mentioned that you came early on through an abusive relationship. Some folks that are maybe in an abusive relationship, they already have some of those feelings and emotions, and so they're even less likely to want to share.
It takes a long time to get over that.
I've heard that,
And it wasn't physically abusive, it was mentally, which also takes a long time to get over.
Well, and sometimes those triggers are still in there. So again, I think shining a light on it in a group, if even a small group of three or four, because oftentimes in our little coffee chat, there's maybe only four or five of us. And I think just shining a light on that early on, to be supportive and non-judgmental, I think keeping that front and center keeps the group focus. So yeah, I can appreciate that. Linda, how about you?
Okay. Well, I don't have anything structured per se, but I have a long and storied past too, with a quite an assortment of experiences. Many of them very challenging. And gratefully, I have survived all of them. And come out a little stronger after each one. I remember I had a job. I had to punch a time clock for a while after my husband died, and I was hired to be a receptionist, and they were giving me tasks that tied in with some of my organizational skills. And they wanted me to, it's getting hard to remember now, but gather data on incoming calls and keep track of any complaints or anything that they should work on as a company. And a lot of them came through against one particular person who happened to be related to the owner. So that was very challenging. But I went where the facts led, and I reported what was coming in. And the owner said to me, he's like, "You're so strong." Like, apparently he wasn't, and he was the owner. You know what I mean? It was just the craziest thing. And I thought, well, I'm doing what you asked me to do. And apparently, as a byproduct, I had to become strong in life. And sometimes I think about that comment, and it's just crazy that a man is telling me, that like I'm almost like I'm too strong, but you try to keep the softer side too. But as far as what I'm doing in the world right now, I continue to try to use my experiences as an entrepreneur and a person who has tried to wear so many hats at one time and been overwhelmed and still tried to keep going. A lot of lessons have been learned about how to cope and juggle and do the best quality outcome with the least overwhelm and insanity. And I try to share those things with other entrepreneurs. And given that I am like the definition of a lifelong learner, I continue to learn and expand my knowledge and my understanding, and therefore I always have more that I can pass on to folks who may be interested. And I, in my reflections a while back, I was thinking about that basic idea and basically came up with kind of a little mantra, which is, the more I share, the more I want to share, and the more I have to share. And that's what I've been doing in my meetup group and in various ways that I am able to impact others. And you just keep, you hope that other people understand the value of what is being offered freely, because it could save them a lot of headaches and a lot of heartaches if they're willing to hear it and receive it and implement it.
Yep, I get that. And again, oftentimes we can see it, but the folks that we're working with, life gets in the way, you know? I mean, their phone's ringing and those darn emails keep coming in, and what the tool that you have that would save them the most time, they don't quite see the vision. And so thank you for hanging in there, because for those of us that do see the vision, we're putting your tools to use, Linda. So thank you so much for that. I can appreciate that. And again, Linda, you've had a lot of tenaciousness in your life. I know a little bit of your backstory, and yes, you've got that perseverance as well to hang in there, and you are strong. Yes. So I can see where that particular business owner said, "Wow, you're so strong," because you had to be in some of your scenarios, and it shows. And let me just say that you wear your strength very graciously.
Thank you for that.
So I think that's important, to be strong but to also be gracious in our strength. So I can appreciate that. So tell me, what would be your next step if you were trying to make this impact, to turn it, of course, into a story so it could elevate others? What would be your next step? And I think for me, my next step is going to be getting in touch with Michelle and trying to create some sort of a formal, I'll say, giving, where I'm either donating a scholarship or where I'm doing something concrete for these adult teens that are coming into her program that are aging out of that foster care system. I need to put together something concrete, and not, you know how it is when you have an emergency and people say to you, "Let me know if you need anything." What does that actually mean? I mean, you know, because there's all kinds of things that if you're in an emergency situation that you might need, but it's hard for you to put it into words if you're in the middle of the soup, and the person that expressed that means well, but there's nothing concrete that you can hang on to. It's not like they can, if they would come to you and say, "Can I bring you some meals while you're going through this so you don't have to cook?" Okay, that's something concrete. Or, "Can I make some phone calls for you?" When my mom passed away, I was still working in the salon 12-hour days. And so when you're a nail tech, which I was, you can't do something other in addition to doing your clients, because your hands are busy and you're at the nail table and you're working the whole time. Whereas if you're a hairstylist, you can put some color on and then you can go back in the dispensary and make a couple phone calls while the color is processing. But as a nail tech, you didn't have that. So my girlfriend called me and she said, "Can I make some phone calls for you?" And I said, "Yes." And I was able to give her a list of folks that I wanted them to know that my mom had passed away and what the arrangements were. And I knew that it was going to be 2 or 3 days before I could even get time to be in front of the telephone. So my girlfriend offering to make phone calls was huge. And I say that to say this: I want to put something together. Oh, we've got Carmela. Let me let her in. So I want to put something together for this gal that is working with these, again, these adult teens that are aging out of the system, where I can say, "This is what I want to do for you." And so I think that's my next step, is actually putting something together concrete. So I want to welcome Carmela. Carmela, hi, how are you? I
Oh,
know you're.
it's been quite a morning. I had a client show up unexpectedly, like 10 minutes till, and I'm going,
Are you kidding me? And they just left. So my apologies, ladies.
No, I get it. I knew you were busy. I knew you were busy. So we're going around and sharing, and Carmela, we'll get around to you. So the question is creating something concrete at this point where the things that we're doing that's making an impact that we can put together something concrete to offer to help storify what our service or our sharing is and how that message can live beyond us. So for me, I'm going to put together something concrete for this ministry, if you will, in Logan, Ohio, for adult teens that are aging out of the foster care system. So anyone else want to share on how you can turn what you're doing into something concrete like that?
Kathy, can I ask you a question just on your story or where you're going? And I know you said you were working with the one gal, and I don't know what that means, but I honestly think that if you could be like a mentor landlord that would help these young kids know, get where they're comfortable, to teach them how to be a good renter. And it may be that you do give them a break financially if you can handle it. I don't know what you're doing for the girl right now, but so that
Yeah, I am.
by the time they leave your place, they are secure in where they are and know that they can get their mortgage paid in the future.
Yeah. And that's a struggle for them because they've not even had any anyone that has even shown them what that looks like.
Right.
Because if they're passed around from foster family to foster family, they maybe weren't even at a foster family long enough to really even understand the financial piece of it or what that even looks like to have their own apartment or to pay rent or even what constitutes a maintenance issue and what doesn't, you know? So
Right.
they have no knowing and they have no way to connect the dots, if you will. So yeah, Ruth, I appreciate that. And part of this gal's vision in Logan is it's a center where she can do some training. And right now she's got some folks that are training how to do resumes and how to do interviewing and that sort of thing, because one of the first things is these kids need to actually get financially stable so that they're not basically captive in the system where they can't seem to get out of the system. And so that's her first step is to help them understand how to actually go out and get a job so that they can put a roof over their own heads and take care of themselves. And so your point's very well taken. So yeah, I'm going to work with her and find out where the needs are the most, what, you know, where she even has some rooms there in this complex where if a one of these adult kids gets totally bumped out of the system and they have no place to sleep that night. Because again, that foster family oftentimes can't afford to keep them for free because that's their income as well. And the foster system is constantly contacting these foster parents saying, can you take more? Can you take another one? Can you have another? And so once this student, this adult teen becomes an adult, they're literally bumped out of sometimes the home. Even if those foster parents don't want to bump them out, they're totally bumped out. And so this gal even has some rooms there where, and I don't know what her criteria is. I don't know how long they're allowed to stay, but she does have some rooms where they're not out on the street. It's.
I can also see you working with her to help provide very basic budgeting.
Yes, I can see that's a plus where I can help with that as well. Some just very elementary skill sets that these kids just have not had an opportunity to even come in contact with. So they don't know what they don't know. They don't even know what questions to ask because they've never been there before. Yeah. So anyway, so that's my so how about anyone else? Do you have something concrete that you can turn your vision into something that you can do concretely.
I think right now mine is my meetup group with the book club.
Yes, I see that. And you're diving deep into those topics. Yes. And that's a tangible thing that you can show up with is having that in-person meetup Even though it's virtual, you're still seeing the
Mm-hmm.
faces and you're building those relationships.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I wanted to add one other tiny comment to the discussion about what you're doing. What about a financial literacy type program like what Dave Ramsey has for teaching kids in the school systems? Could be a place to get some basics under her belt, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I
Yes,
don't know how to
absolutely.
get involved in it, but I'm sure that families are able to get it as well as school systems. And it's meant to introduce from the most basic level.
Yes. And again, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. So, a lot of those programs are already out there. They just need to be presented in a way and in a place where these young adults have access to it.
Yeah. As far as
Absolutely.
what I'm doing, I'm just seeking to increase my ability to reach out and communicate effectively, grow my skills so that I can serve better, get over myself and do more outreach in various ways, and maybe even find ways to build community in a deeper way than what we're able to do in the structure of what we're doing twice a month, where an hour can go by so quickly. And so I may be looking into ways of doing a little bit more community growth in some fashion. So I don't want to throw out anything too half-baked at this point, but we have a warmth of community that is developing, and I'd like to encourage that.
Yes, and that's important because again, the more that develops, the more vulnerable your audience will become with each other. And that's again, and Ruth can attest to this, that's where the connections happen. That's where the relationships develop very deeply. So, yes, I can see that. Yes, good. Sally, how about you?
Well, I talked about writing a book, but before that, I would like to do something in a setting like Ruth talked about, like Linda, you talked about, just a community effort, maybe starting with the kids that are the girls that are out of the foster system. And because I'm sure some of them have gone through some traumatic things, and when you're that age, you think that that's going to be your life. And I want to be able to say, that's not your life. I have to be defined by that. So, working collaboratively with something like that.
That would be amazing because I think when the kiddos are coming up through all those hard times, they know that other kids in the system are getting a raw deal, but they don't have anybody like you who's been basically put through the ringer and has come out well-adjusted and successful and compassionate. Like, you could be a true role model for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sally, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Carmela, we're going to bring you up to speed here. We're coming up on our last 10 minutes, and I know you were busy this morning, but what we talked about, again, under the RISE acronym, is the R is to reconnect. It's who am I today and what matters to me. The I is impact. How do I serve in a small but meaningful way? The S is storify. What part of my life becomes a story worth sharing? And the E is elevate. How will my message live beyond me and inspire others? And so each of us shared the little nudge that we're feeling. And I know you're definitely in a faith-based ideal. And so what do you feel God's telling you to do in your heart of hearts? And how can you implement that in a concrete fashion? And so my example was working with foster kids that are aging out of the system and actually creating some programs that I can hand over to this facility that's helping these kids to where it's something concrete. And Linda shared that it could be a financial piece that I could share with them, or it could be, Ruth mentioned, it could be something about how to become a good renter. Since I have properties, because some of these kids have never had that role model. So, Carmela, what comes to mind for you?
Well, as usual, I'm involved in so many things. And recently, excuse me, this year, a friend of mine, she had started a group called Connect Youth for Mental Health. And
Okay.
like a lot, especially in my community, there's a lot of youth that has, suffered with, attempted suicide. Or suicide, because life is just kind of tough with what they're going through. So I've gotten involved where, I mean, I've always had this connection with kids and youth, where it's like when I still mentor, young girls and ladies. So, and I try that to connect them with different organizations or something that can help them. For example, a girl that was a that's a close friend of mine, her daughter. I let her live with me for a couple of months. She kind of suffered, with like a lot of ADHD and stuff. So she wanted to move out on her own. So we got her her first apartment and everything kind of pushed her in those steps. Well, then, of course, she s starts dating the bad guy. But to kind of offer that extra push, to get him, because he's in the system, that's not, the last thing. So I actually had. Came in contact and met a young lady. Her daughter was, I knew she just graduated, but she works for an organization, and I guess they're big, where people, even though they've had a record, they take them through like a classroom setting, a schooling, to help them get acclimated back in the community, getting a job, knowing how to, budget, finding a place and everything like that. So, I kind of like put them in those different categories. The youth, the Connect for Mental Health, we've gotten a lot of youth in the community involved. We do different fun things with them, but then we have meetings. And within the meetings, we try to get someone that can really give them that inspirational talk. There was a guy who he was like adopted out, and everything he went through, not having this, but going to college and then becoming, a pro football player for a while. And that's one of the things, I feel that passion because some of them don't have parents that are there for them. I think a lot of that started working here in the law office because Farley does a lot of court-appointed cases in juvenile court.
Okay.
There's some young girls, and I try not to get emotional. But they don't have that mom there. And sometimes I'm wearing two different hats. I'm wearing this like, mom type hat, but then I'm wearing the office professional. And sometimes they just want somebody to talk to, encourage them. And, if I say a prayer with them, just say some things to help them, they appreciate that. And to the point where they'll call, Miss Carmela, are you busy? Do you have a moment? And if And I try to fit them in, even if it's for a few minutes, just to kind of give them that encouragement because they don't have that, for whatever reason. One of the girls, she was the oldest. Her mom was killed, when she was young, and she has all these siblings behind her. She's been a parent, but then she became a mom at a young age, and then it's like they don't know what to do. And then when you get money, they just blow through it. I'm like, okay, you have to be more responsible. This is what you need to do. And it's just been that passion of, working and being there that, that I can still do it from different outlets. I mean, whether it be the youth at church, but in my community, because I mean, I had to, it hits home because I had a family member that tried to commit suicide.
a young child, and the first time they tried it was at 10 years old.
Oh, my.
And it breaks my heart, so I try to be there. And that's what I tell, it's like, if you don't have, I'm always available, call me, I will make the time, just to even listen. Because sometimes they just need someone to talk to and just direct them in the right path,
Sometimes they just need to know they've got someone in their corner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't judge, no matter, I don't prejudge them or anything, I let them, tell me what's what, and if it's something that needs to be brought out, to help them where they don't fall in the bad situation, I will do that. But the other organization, like I said, Connect Kids for Mental Health, we've just, like I said, just started about the past year and a half, but having events with them, one of their favorite events, twice a year, we rent out the entire bowling alley. And we have time where we ask questions, where they're interacting. So I may be a leader of a group of kids, and just to get them to express themselves and think about day-to-day situations. And then they have time for fun and games, but it's all night. So literally they're up all night. I mean, I'm old, so it's harder for me to keep going. So I try not to work the next day, because when we leave at 7 a.m., I need a bed.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I bet. Yep.
They enjoy that. And sometimes just to hear their thoughts. And some of them are so smart. I had just this last one, a young guy tell me that, he wants to, go to college and do things. He goes, but my mom, she drinks a lot. She spends, I mean, and my heart was just breaking. And sometimes I wish I had $1 million. I would help everybody. But then it's
I
like,
know.
I can't do that. But I can lead and guide them in that way. But that's pretty much where I'm at, so it's not necessarily me having the concrete, but me like being a part of an organization, and then even like with the office and even outside with church, being that person that they can turn to that can direct them.
So it's you having those resources is so valuable to all those kids because they don't know where to even search that stuff out. Yeah, I mean, I see sometimes when I need some information and it's hard for me to search out. I can't even imagine, being an 18-year-old with no support system and being tossed out there to search it out on your own. So, Carmela, thank you so much for your service. I can see that you're constantly serving, and so and I shared that about you as we started this call today. I said I'm sure she's wearing all the hats this morning, and you certainly were. So, gosh, thank you so much for that. Any last comments or aha moments before we go today? I want to say probably my biggest aha moment was just how amazing all of you on this call are. Independently and collectively, the impact that we're all making. So, thank you all for being on the call today. Anyone else want to share anything before we go?
It's just nice to that there's avenues for us to do things.
Absolutely. Linda?
And whatever our background is, there's ways of using it to bless and help other people.
Yes, absolutely. Ruth, any last words before we go? I see she turned her camera off. She might be doing, oh, there she is.
I did move away from my phone, but I needed to get up and move a little bit. But yeah, it's all been good. And I think we all have something to offer to the world. And don't be shy about doing it. Do it with grace.
Yes, thank you for that. Thank you, everyone. I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you for being here today. And we will see everyone next time.
Yes. Bye.
Bye,
Have a good week.
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.